news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison. And are you an alumni who maybe wants to learn about starting or developing an alumni and supporters chapter? Well, attend one of FFA's free regional development conferences. Find locations and agendas, as well as many more informational pieces, online at ffa.org/go-to-RDC. That's go to RDC. Now, the next conference is going to be held in Prescott Valley, Arizona, March 29th and 30th, with registration closing on March 17th. So head to FFA.org for additional information today. So now we head to Pennsylvania, where Pennsylvania State Representative John Hershey himself, an FFA alumni, caught up with a pair of advisors at the recent 103rd Pennsylvania Farm Show.
Now I have Mr. McLaughlin and Mrs. Morgan here. They're both ag teachers in the Juniata County School District. I'm excited to be here today because I'm a Juniata FFA alumni and unfortunately never joined until my junior year. So, Mrs. Morgan, I guess we'll start with you. What does the farm show mean to you and why do you come here every year?
Well, to me, the farm show pretty much means highlighting agriculture in Pennsylvania. Agriculture is so diverse. And I think the farm show here at Pennsylvania really highlights what we have in Pennsylvania. And it's excellent. And I'm so glad that you're here, and especially with the Midwinter Convention, is highlighting that future agricultures that we have and that we need to support them.
Great. And Mr. McLaughlin, what are some of the activities that the students get to experience while they're here at the farm show?
Well, we have our Midwinter Convention, and we are actually lucky because East Juniata has its first state officer. So not only do we have our alumni participating in it, but, you know, it is our, meaning Pennsylvania FFA, our Midwinter Convention. So it's really a great experience in a lot of respects that way for us.
Great. And Mrs. Morgan, what are some trends that you see today in agriculture education that might not have had 20 years ago?
Definitely now, trends in agriculture education, we have students that do have no connection to a farm. So really what we have to do is really highlight what they can do in agriculture. So that's like one of the big things that I see, especially in the future, especially with 1% of farmers being in the United States. You know, we have 120 students. We really have to highlight the agriculture is for everybody. It's from when you wake up in the morning to you go to bed at night in the sheets and everything in between there. Food, clothing, textiles, deals with agriculture.
Yeah, and people don't realize that, but the food we eat, the clothes we wear, a lot of that comes from not only U.S. farmers, but the food we're eating is coming from Pennsylvania farmers as well. Mr. McLaughlin, we're seeing a trend today that there are less farms. A lot of people that might be in ag education aren't going to work on the family farm after they graduate. Of course, I went a totally different path and I was an FFA. What are you seeing some of your students doing, and what kind of career path can ag education provide?
Ag education is quite honestly all-encompassing. We teach literally everything from public speaking to hands-on science, mechanics, engineering, mathematics. So I see our students being more well-rounded than what a lot of people give us credit for, and much more ready to take on real-world problems and formulate real-world solutions. So I couldn't be prouder to be an ag educator, to be honest.
Yeah, and I can agree with that. I remember my senior prepared speaking competition when I did it at Penn State. I did it about the trade issue, and people don't realize that agriculture touches every part of our life, and it taught me to be a better public speaker, and it's an education I wouldn't have had otherwise, especially going on the college prep path. Of course, I went to college. You can do anything you want to with an ag education. It's pretty incredible. So anyway, we're Juniata County proud here at the Farm Show, and I'm excited to be able to talk to two of our educators that work so hard year in and year out in the classroom, here at the Farm Show, and outside of the classroom as well with our fairs and things like that. Anyway, thanks for being here today, guys, and thanks for having me.
Well, thanks to Pennsylvania State Representative John Hershey for that recap. And of course, stay tuned, because we'll meet a young man with a business spanning from the fields of Wyoming to tables around the globe. That's next on Rural Radio 147. Well, welcome back to the show. And now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Forrest Smith, a Wyoming member whose company, which started as a way to ease a chronic health condition within his family, is now experiencing success in over 7 different countries around the world.
Forrest, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. I'm looking forward to speaking with you. You've got quite a story and really eager to share it with everybody. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. I wonder if we could start off if I just asked you if you could kind of tell us a little bit about you personally, kind of introduce us all to Forrest.
Yes. So we grow oats from ourselves, our land, as well as other growers in our area. And we do a value-added ag product to it. I was diagnosed with celiac disease or gluten intolerance when I was 2 years old and almost died in the hospital. I have about 15 family members that after I was diagnosed with celiac disease, that they also were diagnosed with celiac disease, including both of my parents after I was. So we do a product where it's safe for people who have to watch their gluten intake and making sure that oats, which is naturally gluten-free, that they there's no cross-contamination in the field, in the harvesting, and in the processing it to sending out. So our daily job is juggling between doing field work and doing processing and making sure that everything in that vertically integrated package is able to stay pure as what we want it to be.
Well, Forrest, that's quite a story, and I've got a million questions leading up to that. Well, you know, celiac disease is something I've heard the term, but obviously you hear about gluten all the time. And if somebody were to have asked me prior to our conversation, well, what is the complication with gluten? I would know it had something to do with the word that sounds like celiac, but I'm displaying my ignorance here. Can you help to educate us all on what celiac disease is and how it works and why it's so important?
Yes. So celiac disease is an autoimmune disease, just like type 1 diabetes is and multiple other autoimmune diseases. So it's passed down through heritage through your family. And to the difference between celiac disease and gluten intolerance is a lot of times someone who has celiac disease has to be very, very strict in making sure that they are not getting anything that has gluten in it and the cross-contamination. The FDA has said that legally you can call something gluten-free at 20 parts per million. Mm-hmm. Or if you think of like out of a mile stack high of pennies, you have to find 10 dimes. So that's okay. About 20 parts per million. Out of a gallon or a gallon baggie, you have to find 2 seeds. That's how tight you have to be. Our certification, or for a celiac person, you want to be even tighter than that. So we are down to 10 parts per million mm-hmm. or less is what we strive to be, because it does so much damage in your body. A gluten intolerance could be someone who might be lactose intolerant,
okay.
Where you can kind of eat it. You deal with some issues, but it's not something that that is as effective as someone who has a peanut allergy.
Mm-hmm. And out of all of this, your business, you're in your parents' business, Gluten Free Oats was born. When did that begin?
In 2003, I was a freshman in high school, and I was charged for our ag class to start a agricultural business. We were starting in for ag class, and then it was going to tie into FFA. To be able to say, this is what my supervised agricultural experience was going to be. And at that time, they were saying that oats had gluten in it. And right when I got into high school, they said, well, maybe oats doesn't have gluten in it. It's the cross-contamination between the wheat, rye, and barley mm-hmm. that have the gluten. And as long as you have a pure source, it's going to be gluten-free. So we did our research. I went into the local FFA parent support group and got a loan through them for $250 because my parents didn't want me to borrow the money from them. They wanted me to be accountable to paying back the loan because they knew if I borrowed it from them, they might not ever see it again. So they wanted to look at, you know, the venture capital and what that's going to be and looking at the process. to really starting your own business. And it was born in 2003, and it grew from 2003 of a small tabletop mill that could process about 1 pound every 15 minutes, which we had found a pure source of already processed groats, which is the meat inside of an oat.
Okay.
And we were able to flake it. The next year, so we bought a 50-pound bag the first year, and I sorted everything through it. The second year, so my sophomore year in high school, I bought about 500 pounds to sort through. And it kept growing and growing, and people just kept telling the word out to family members. So it went from my local town to all of Wyoming to, I went to a show in Casper, Wyoming, and a doctor from the New York area and a writer from California area took my product, and that's where it really exploded. The source that we had gotten for the oats, because of how much it exploded, couldn't guarantee that it was going to be gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we thought that the business was done because we couldn't figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a pure source of oats, and we thought it was done. That would have been close to my junior year in high school. After we had gotten through that, my dad was actually chased down by someone in our local community that said he had about 7 acres of oats that he'd grown that he didn't have a place to go, and if we wanted to buy it. So my parents actually sold their 12-foot camper, mm-hmm, to buy this 7-acre field of oats. We didn't know how to process it. We didn't know any of these things. We called a milling company, and they got us in touch with a mill that was in another state. We were going over there so much that we went to the state of Wyoming in 2011, I believe it was, to see if we can actually make our own processing plant. Mm-hmm. So that's where we were able to have the state of Wyoming help us out for getting the funds to build our own processing plant here in Powell.
Wow. That is a heck of a story, and I've got a million questions for you about that. You talked about value-added product. What product were you producing and selling when you first began your supervised agricultural experience?
Well, it really started because I'd never had a no-bake cookie with my grandma.
Okay.
That was really the end goal that I wanted to have. So we flaked the groats. So made it into flakes, and we could also make it into flour, so making banana bread. Mm-hmm. So the product that I sold was either flour, oat flour, or a flaked oat.
Had you not joined FFA, and had you not had this requirement for this supervised agricultural experience, would this business have ever been born?
I don't think it would have.
Okay. So today, what products are you producing? Have you added products? Are you still with those basic value-added products that you began with, or is there more now that you're producing?
We have about 27 different SKUs that we do, different products. We do old-fashioned rolled oats, quick, steel-cut, flour, and groats. We actually sell groats. So we have 5 of those. So we do that both in conventional as well as we do it in our organic sector too. We have about 10 different, we call it a go pack. So it's a ready to go package. All you do is you tear the top off of it. You squeeze the package together. So it looks like a package that you might get for oatmeal. That's a single serve package, mm-hmm, in a box, but you squeeze the cardboard sides together on each individual and it makes it its own bowl. So we have 10 different flavors. We have about 6 to 7 oatmeal flavors, and we actually have 3 to 4 muffin flavors that you microwave and it makes its own muffin in this cup. And then we do this oatmeal cups. So we ventured out a little bit, as well as adding some of our home recipes like a pancake mix and a oatmeal bake that all you have to do is add liquid ingredients.
How many different countries are you exporting product to now?
We export to, we go to South America. There's about 3 or 4 different countries we export to South America. We export to Scotland. We export to Australia is a pretty big one. We have Puerto Rico we've gone to. So we have probably close to 10 to 15 places that we export to.
Well, Forrest, this is an incredible story. I could probably talk to you for another hour about this, but I know I can't take up all of your valuable time. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us today.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I really enjoyed it.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, certainly an inspiring story. And of course, thanks to Matt, as always, for bringing it to us. Well, don't go anywhere. We're off to the Show Me State next on FFA Today. Well, thanks for tuning in. And finally today, we head to Missouri. That's where former FFA advisor Bob Parsons catches up with members of the Salem FFA chapter as part of his regular program on KSMO Radio.
I like to start off each of you introducing yourself so folks out there have an idea of who I'm hearing from.
My name's Hayden Wilson. I'm a senior at Salem High School.
I'm Nick Holliday, and I'm a senior at Salem High School.
All right, my name's Cole Elliott, and I'm also a senior at Salem High School.
My name's Dawson Conway. I'm a junior at Salem.
My name's Nathan. I am a junior, and that's about it.
I'm Trinity Lewis, and I am a sophomore at Salem High School.
My name's Mallory Dittman. I'm a junior at Salem High School.
One of the things that is good to start with is to get you an opportunity to talk about your favorite FFA activity and tell why it's your favorite.
My favorite FFA activity that I've done so far would be the trap shooting contest we went to. We had a couple practices out at the Cardi's old trap shooting range, and it's just fun to get a bunch of kids around and hang out and shoot trap and just have a good time.
I think my favorite activity is probably National Convention because I went my sophomore and junior year. I didn't get to go this year because I was attempting to play football. National Convention is so great because, I mean, you just meet so many new people around the country and you get to collaborate on how they run their chapters and how you run your own chapter. And it's just, it makes chapters run more efficiently all over the world, and we meet so many new people.
All right, my favorite activity is kind of different, and you wouldn't guess by looking at me, but I like to dance, and I like those barn-warming dances. It's really fun. You get to enjoy yourself a little bit after a long, hard week of school, or 2 days of school since it's snow days. But
I'd say my favorite activity that I've done in FFA would probably be the 4-H and FFA Expo, because, I mean, it's a good experience to raise a steer and just pretty much the experience of growing with it, you know, and be able to break it and halter break it and be able to show it and then sell it at market.
I really like beef days. Always enjoy going to beef days. I think I've gone every year now. We get to learn new things, teach the younger kids about animals, and I always help Tracy Strange teach them about ATV and UTV safety. I always enjoy that.
The ice cream social, I guess, just because we get to eat ice cream and kind of hang out.
I agree with Nick. My favorite activity is definitely the expo. Just being able to show my hog and, like, see other people work with their animals, just and seeing the community come together.
What have you found most difficult during your ag education and FFA career?
Record books. It's just something that it's always there. And, like, you don't want to do it, but you have to do it at the same time, or you'll fail the class. And you have to have it up to a certain level. You can't just baseline it the whole way through. So that's probably the most difficult thing.
Yeah. What I found difficult first was interviews. Like, going in there, interviewing for stuff was pretty difficult at first. You've never been in the situation before until now. And so, I mean, you go in there and you don't really know what to expect. They ask a lot of, like, questions. And, you know, you got to be really formal and you got to know your stuff and speak clear. So you never really been put in the situation. So it's good to, like, go in there and do it, but it's hard at first because you've never done it before, so you just don't know what to expect.
I'd say the hardest part for me was coming in as a freshman and kind of getting out there, because I was kind of a shyer freshman, and the FFA done a good job. They kind of welcome you with open arms, and they kind of make you feel right at home. They're basically your family away from your real family, and I'd say just getting out there and collabing with new people was definitely the hardest thing for me.
Okay. Why did you enroll in ag education?
I decided to enroll in ag education because my cousins were in it. So just seeing what they did in ag and did in FFA, I just thought that was so cool, and I wanted to have a part of that also.
I joined because I knew a lot of my friends were going to do it, and I noticed it's such a big part of high school, and I didn't want to miss out on something that was really, I don't know, just something that everyone else was doing, so I thought I'd join that. And also, my grandpa always nagged at me. He wanted me to do it because he was in it in high school, and it always sounded fun. I love learning new things and working with my hands, so that's why.
When I was younger, my oldest brother was in it, and so I went to a couple of things with him that was public stuff, and I thought it was really neat, but the main reason was because, like, I didn't grow up on a farm with animals or anything, just had a couple dogs maybe, but for the most part, I was intrigued by what happened, where our food came from, like how it all happened, and so I took it to really learn just how it all came about and what all there was to farming, because it's always been something very interesting to me since I've never been able to do it. I always nag my parents to buy a farm, but they won't do it.
All right, so I'm going to say my sister was in FFA, and that's how I heard about it. She got her state degree and her American degree, so it's kind of a competition thing. No, I'm just kidding. But when I got into high school, I knew I wasn't going to be big sports star, super athletic. I knew I wasn't going to be in any, like, science club or math club. So I need somewhere to fit in. And it's a unique experience. Because the people around you, you work together, you study together, you do all kinds of stuff, and it kind of becomes a sort of family that you wouldn't have had. And it's good.
Coming out of 8th grade into high school, I kind of always knew I was going to be in ag because, you know, I grew up on a farm. And both my parents stayed on it because neither of them took ag in high school, and they say that's one of their biggest regrets. And my brother ended up taking it before me. And so I ended up taking it, and they always said that it teaches you more than just agriculture. And, I mean, ag teaches about record keeping, communication skills, life skills. It teaches about everything, and I think it's one of the best things that I've probably ever done in decision making. So
for me, it was a little different because I came from my freshman and sophomore year, I was at my old high school in Georgia. We didn't really have agriculture classes or FFA, so coming here is a new experience, but I've always had a passion for farming, and I mean, as long as I remembered my grandparents, they've always had a cattle operation, and I mean, I've always been passionate in that aspect of things, so for me, it was just a lot of my friends were already in it, so I decided I'd join in.
What do you plan to do future-wise?
Thinking about going to college and getting a fish and wildlife management degree and maybe pursuing something in that area.
I've always wanted to do heavy equipment operating. Always thought that'd be really interesting. It's not an office job. You get to be outdoors and, I don't know, get to move some heavy equipment around. Always reminded me of playing with RC cars when I was younger. So
for me, I plan on getting a four-year degree, a bachelor's degree in something in the agriculture field, and then going to appraising school. And then while I am doing appraising, I plan on running my own farm.
After I graduate, I'm going to go up to a college in Illinois with a good friend of mine, and we're going to have to learn how to be a John Deere mechanic, so we're going to be able to tear apart tractors and machinery and all that.
I got accepted to College of the Ozarks, so I'm pretty excited about that. That's where I'm going.
I'm not going to college for anything agriculture related, but agriculture will always be something that I keep in my heart. I want to go to college to be an international business. Business has just been something that I've always find interesting, and I think I'll always have a spot.
So far, I want to go to school and get an associate's for physical therapy assistance. I'm going to go and get my bachelor's for physical therapy.
All right, great. These guys have done a great job. All right.
Well, thanks again to KSMO for that interview. Well, that brings the show to a close for another week. But if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Adkison with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.